music has that ability to carry thoughts and expressions, to capture moments. And for us, like we've been singing tonight, adoration and praise to God, to Jesus, a sense of what he's doing in our midst. Music is that gift. And this month, we're looking at music as part of our Rocktober series, but not just songs for the sake of songs. Actually, looking at them of what do the lyrics have to say about who God is, who we are, and how we are to live a life that God calls us to live. So last week we had Rod share around the song Shallow. Who was here last week? You hear Shallow? Hear the team present that? Did a fantastic job. We've got two more weeks after tonight, obviously. But also this week, just to, in keeping with the Rocktober theme, this Thursday at 2 o'clock here. So if you're free at 2 o'clock this Thursday, there is the Keenagers are putting on a Rocktober special, if you like. Sort of trying to get on board with that. That's okay. There's two opera soloists. So I'm not sure if it's rock opera. I'm not sure if there's any of that that's going to be in there. Perhaps not this time. But certainly invite you to be a part of that day as well, 2 o'clock Thursday. Tonight, we're privileged, really privileged. One more, Bailey, one more. To have the song Pride in the Name of Love by U2. And the band's going to bring that to us now. Sing along.
One man come in the name of love. One man come and go. One man came he to justify. One man to overthrow. On a barbed wire fence, one man is in. One man washed on an empty beach. One man betrayed with a kiss.
It's pretty easy singing the chorus, I think, down an octave. You know, thanks for carrying that for us, babe. Really. No, that was fantastic. I don't think we appreciate how... Well, there's a lot of work that goes into what these guys do as well. So thank you. Thanks for that. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, or you got your devices, or it'll be on the screen. But before we read from there, I want to give you some background to the song we just heard. As I mentioned, the song, and as many of you would know, it's called Pride, In the Name of Love. And it was written by the Irish band U2 back in 1984. The band consists of Adam Clayton, Larry Mullen, guitarist David Evans, better known as The Edge. We came pretty close to that today by having Andrew Eldredge here. Close. And on lead vocals, Paul Hewson, better known as Bono. Bono being the nickname given to him by some of his mates at an early age. And it was actually named after a local hearing aid shop called Bono Vox, which is Latin for good voice. So that's an interesting note if you come into the quiz on Saturday night. I don't know if that's going to be in there, but at least you know that for now. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with U2's music, some of you may not be, much of their lyrics are known for their social and political commentary and frequently have Christian and spiritual imagery interspersed. And their music is often motivated by thoughts of loss and anguish, coupled with hopefulness and resilience. Growing up in Ireland, the members of U2 were exposed to and concerned with all the terrorism and the violence taking place between the Irish Republican Army, the IRA, and the British forces that were based in Northern Ireland. So through their music and their increasing popularity, U2 took a stand against violence and terrorism in favour of a peaceful solution to the conflict. Over the years, their voice continues to be one which sings and which speaks out against injustice and oppression of any kind. And for the band, it's a viewpoint that's actually based on their Christian foundations. And when you look closely at a lot of their songs, you can see it comes through in their lyrics. So what about the song Pride, In the Name of Love? How do you speak about something on pride together with love? How do those things work together? Well, the song's actually about people who live their life, yes, with pride, but not in a boastful or an arrogant sort of way. Rather, the kind of pride that someone has with their thoughts and actions is when their thoughts and actions are motivated by their respect for the value and sanctity of all human life. Their pride is in what God holds dear. Their pride comes out of the love of God for all humanity. A sense of, I know what God has done here. I can see who God has created. I can see his love for all humanity. And I'm going to live my life honouring that and be proud of it. The song Pride was inspired by Martin Luther King Jr., the American Baptist minister and activist who was a key leader in the civil rights movement in the 60s. So Pride is U2's tribute, if you like, to King and to the many others who throughout history have sacrificed their life in the name of love. Those who have fought for justice and have used non-violent means to achieve that goal. Another interesting side note, the initial concept for the lyrics was going to be to condemn President Reagan's pride that he had in the strength of their military forces in the US. But this didn't sit right with Bono, paying more attention to the negative. And so they flipped it around and they looked for someone that they could speak in a positive way about. And Bono was visited a place honouring Martin Luther King, and he was reading a couple of books as well. And so this helped shape where this song actually ended up landing. It was a more of a positive way to speak of liberation, in contrast to the terrorism they saw through the IRA. So some of the lyrics highlight the difference in approach between the peaceful king and another prominent American activist, Malcolm X, who invoked a more aggressive and violent approach to civil rights. The song speaks of one man come in the name of love, one man come and go, one man come here to justify, one man to overthrow. Some other lyrics speak of barbed wire fences and washed on empty beaches. References that are suggested to being to World War II and the beaches of Normandy in France. Then the last verse is clearly about Martin Luther King, who was assassinated in Memphis in 1968. They took his life, but they couldn't take his pride. This speaks to the pride that he had, as I said, in regard to helping all humanity. His passion and his drive was built on a deep love inspired and motivated ultimately by his faith in God and his desire to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. And you too include an obvious reference to Jesus, one who came but was betrayed with a kiss. And I can't help think of the verse in 1 John chapter 3 which says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." Jesus, the one who came to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Jesus, the one who came, who would ultimately surrender his life through sacrificial love. Another verse in the Gospel of John, John 15, Jesus speaking himself saying, "Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." This symbolic sense of the love of the Father of God for us in sending Jesus, for us to have that same sort of love as we look at others around us. But I've been reflecting on this song over the last few weeks, and some of my thinking certainly been around the need to stand up for those who I see aren't being treated fairly. And in my role as chaplain at Annesley Junior School, this last month, we've had the opportunity to talk around justice and what it means for the children and staff of how we demonstrate justice in a way which is right, not by force, but this sense of loving others and making sure others are included and being treated fairly. But I've also taken the opportunity to try and imagine myself as one of those that were there at the March on Washington in 1963, on the steps and in sight of the Lincoln Memorial. Not sure if we've got a picture of that up there, but hearing Martin Luther King say the words, "I have a dream today." Here they are on the steps right in front of this significant building, monument, that was a part of the American culture. The big statue of Abraham Lincoln and all the writings of the founding fathers, right on the steps there, sharing these words. King implored all who were listening to catch a vision of something, to see something beautiful and step into it, to lift their eyes, to lift their expectations, and to take hold of what was right, to stand strong, to move forward side by side. I tried to imagine as best as I could what was happening within the hearts and the minds of those present in a time of such civil unrest. I tried to imagine what hope they may have experienced because of what they heard, because of what they were invited to see, because of what they were invited to participate in. I'm sure there was still uncertainty present, even fear, but there was a shift, I think, taking place. Fear was slowly being drowned out through this message of love, of life, freedom, hope. Of course, I can't really know exactly what they felt. I can only imagine this. But I know what it feels like when I've lost sight of something good because of something difficult I'm going through. Maybe because of some internal unrest or something's happened in my circumstances where I've become disheartened, discouraged. I know what it means to have feelings of worry and frustration take hold when I become apprehensive about something. I don't have to imagine those feelings. Perhaps you've had those moments too. And let me say that there are no easy answers. There's no quick fix sometimes in those moments. But what carries me through those times is that God doesn't make empty promises. That's what I hold on to. Let's have a look at that passage in Acts 3, in the remaining time we have. Here we find two of Jesus' disciples, Peter and John, on their way to the temple for afternoon prayers. The temple was a building, a structure which held great significance for the people, for their culture. A bit of a replica here of what it may have looked like in different parts, different sections, and who was actually allowed to come in to the first part. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, the first gate that allows you to enter. And he was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He was a man that was placed and positioned on the outside. The man didn't choose his circumstance, but there he was, crippled, unable to move. And each day he was placed there at the entrance to receive money from those who were arriving. So he wasn't allowed to enter into the temple. He was excluded. He wasn't welcome. He was confined. He was trapped. He had no freedom. He had no independence. And we read a little further on that he was actually 40 years old. And it's very likely that he was placed outside in that position every day for most of his life, for someone else's benefit, for someone else's gain. The man was right there in front of what was called the Beautiful Gate. So close. But have you ever noticed how sometimes the smallest distance can make things seem impossible? I'm just there, but I don't think I'll ever make it where I need to be, where I want to be. What kind of hope did he have? What kind of future did he see? Verse 4. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter implored the man to pay careful attention to them, to catch sight of something, to see something beautiful. The word there, as far as looking and seeing, has this meaning of you see something physical, but there's a spiritual perception as well. Often we just look for the physical, but that next step of seeing further into it, that spiritual component, that's what Peter was trying to invite this lame man into. Peter wasn't thinking about the beauty of the temple gate. He said, "Silver or gold, I don't have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." It was about this man stepping into the fullness of life through the power of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter was offering. It was an invitation to step into a freedom which this man thought was impossible. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts. walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Peter wanted this man to lift his eyes from his circumstance, to lift his expectations of maybe another cold shoulder or reluctant handout. Peter wanted the man to take hold and receive what he really needed, to stand strong as a child of God, to move forward into community, to be included side by side with others. And in the process, this man's joy and hope was restored. You know, we all face challenges and we face disappointments. I don't know about you, but sometimes even growing up in the church, hearing of God's promises and different things I need to trust God about and follow Jesus' way, sometimes I find myself outside again, unsure of how I've got here, even unsure of how to step back in. But I know it's not where I'm meant to stay. It's not the life God has for me. Like I said earlier, there are no easy answers living in a broken world when things come in to try and steal our joy, our hope, our life. But God doesn't give empty promises. God sent his greatest promise, Jesus, for the sake of this world, for you. Yesterday's song, it highlights the life of Martin Luther King. But in the lead up, I've sensed for many of us, we need to be reminded, or maybe we need to hear for the first time, that in the midst of what we're going through, one man, Jesus, came into this world because God's love could not leave us without hope. Jesus came so that we may have life and have it to the full. In a life of faith, it doesn't mean that we never experience fear or worry. But the difference is that in those situations, we don't need to be held captive by those feelings. We don't have to be bound by them, crippled by them. A life of faith in God enables us instead to lift our vision, to increase our faith, to stand, be strengthened by God as we trust in him for all we need, so that we can stand strong as a child of God with a thankful heart, with a hope-filled heart. I wonder if there is something that you feel is pressing in on you at the moment, something that you feel is holding you back from a life that God desires for you. And perhaps it's not through anything you've done. I want to encourage you to remember that God knows your circumstance. God sees the hurt and brokenness maybe that you're feeling. And he wants to remind you that you are loved. You are a child of God. Jesus came to show what love truly looks like. And he still comes through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, to strengthen you in those moments, to remind you of what God's done, to remind you that you're a child of God and that nothing can separate you from his love. In this moment, I want to pray for us tonight. And I don't know what the situation may be for you, but in a large church, a large gathering, large group of people here tonight, there are different things we face. So as I pray, I invite you to join me in prayer of maybe a cry out to God. Saying, God, I need to know you're present here in this situation. I need to be able to stand firm and stand strong because I'm feeling weak at the knees. Join me in prayer. God, we thank you that you hear us as we bring the things which are heavy on our hearts. We thank you that we can do this because of your Son Jesus, that he came to take upon himself the brokenness, the things which have kept us distant from God. We read that in those moments where we are feeling weighed down and burdened by things, that we can cast our burdens onto you. Jesus, you carry the things that, so that we don't have to carry them anymore. In those moments where fear or worry or anxiety or disappointment try to become the thing that binds us and holds us back from moving forward, God, I pray for release and a breakthrough, even tonight, right now, that there will be a reminder of the power of God at work because of the love of God. Jesus, we thank you that you made a way. We thank you that you call us into that, to be able to stand strong, to move forward side by side with those around us that encourage us, that build up our faith, that remind us of the hope that we have in Jesus.